Hey everyone, welcome to the 19th episode of Field Reports. I'm your friendly neighborhood DM Tom, and I've got a few things to cover before we get into the speed run of the next 6 episodes of the campaign. First and foremost, thank you for sticking with us for the past 3 years now, and going down this crazy rabbit hole with us. We certainly wouldn't have it any other way. Second, please check out our social media accounts on most major platforms. Just search for the Medusa's Cascade on the platform and give us a follow. We have some cool stuff coming, and it's worth checking out. Lastly, if you're listening on a streaming platform, especially Apple Podcasts and Spotify, please take a few minutes to rate, review, and subscribe. It doesn't seem like a lot, but it does help get the podcast out there for others to discover, and we would all appreciate the love and support. So now, without further ado, we will jump into the Field Reports, Episode 19, A Dramatic Turn of Events. During the festivities, Galahad and Shanks seek out Fat Argyle to speak about a possible business relationship, and the tiefling gives them the lowdown on what they know about the operation. He gives the two an address in the city for a meeting with the financier surrounding a new venture in Venice. The group then reunites to exchange what has developed and allows for the heavier news to follow later on. There is a lot of discussion on morality amongst the various party members. In a dream that evening, Theodicus, or at least a version of him, visits Galahad and wants to get a look at Antonius' protege and the person whom the judge espoused respect for. Over breakfast the next day, Galahad brings up his visit from Glad's husband and a discussion about trying to sort out the news that the constable indeed reports to someone higher than himself. Zex then decides to inform the group of what he saw down in the vineyard with Galahad and Glad. Eventually, he decides to give an update to Amina via the Speak with Plant spell, again before the group heads off to their meeting. The results of that meeting saw them as controlling shareholders of Chubby Teas and any future potential franchises. More was to be solidified by signing NDAs and determining a proxy, but they now have potentially a nice source of income in about 6 months or so. With the Swift Hummingbird stocked up and waiting, the party leaves the city of Nymora and makes their way west towards the Shattered Range, close to Salix's Hermitage. Days later, the group arrives at Salix's Hermitage, their former hiding place from the web. They pause to reflect on the relief of no longer being hunted by the cult, and exchanging words before settling in as the ship finds a landing spot. Just as the group gets comfortable, they hear a massive explosion, and upon investigation realize that the ship is under attack. Everyone rushes out and does their best to get to the scene as quickly as they can to help. Galahad and Duo take to the skies, and Shanks can see the smoke from the ship beginning to grow larger while on top of a high tree. Hoshino is on the move with Argyle and uses the spell Dimension Door to get as close as they can. It's around that time when Zex, taking in the scene, realizes this must be an ambush, and Duo confirms that information, and the group gets into a battle with Shanks' past, the Wolf Pack. The fight doesn't look good for the group as they not only have to fight them, but three of the constable's lieutenants, Anti-Salix, Anti-Galahad, and the executioner. Allies are falling, others are suffering immense damage, and others still are trying to do what they can to ensure that they all survive. It becomes apparent that they will have to make a tactical retreat as they are outnumbered and overwhelmed by the enemy's immense power. There's a moment of nervous energy as Galahad is shot out of the sky and begins to plummet, unconscious and unaware of what awaits him below. Thankfully, though, Glad is able to heal him and bring him back from this unconsciousness. Upon coming to, he applies Lay on Hands to himself for some extra healing as well, releases his wings, and regroups with the team towards safety. Everybody's doing what they can to help get some distance between the wolf pack and the constable's lieutenants, throwing just about everything that they can from their bag of tricks. They follow Salix back to the Hermitage, where a force cage is dropped on them. It's where they come face to face with the constable, yet again. But he's not alone. To either side of him are Shankis, an alternate version of Shanks, the Jury, and Alma, the drow woman who kidnapped so many children in Nymora, including Zex and Kyver. The constable and Hoshino stare at each other for some time, and the bard instinctively uses Dimension Door to flee the situation. Shankis is sent after him. It is a game of cat and mouse that begins, and Hoshino uses the spell Seeming to appear like one of the unassuming creatures of Sloane. Meanwhile, back at the Hermitage, there is a tense conversation happening between the constable, Alma, and the other members of Collateral, one that is seemingly stirring up Malar within Zex, feeding on his rage towards the two figures in front of him, and it's only getting started. The constable begins to reveal more about his plans, who he serves, and why he does what he does. He even goes so far as to offer the group a place with him in exchange for sparing their respective plane. No one takes the offer, but he assures them that they can take the time to mull it over. Things reach a boiling point when the constable points out things that have been a thorn in his side and a wrench in his plans, namely Elrin, or, as it's revealed, Arioch. With this revelation, the team looks to Argyle and Shanks for a reaction to read anything they can from this information. Shanks speaks to Arioch, Elrin, whatever you want to call him, all the while face-to-face with the constable, who is also chatting with him. As Shanks' head begins to spin with the information, he begins to break mentally again, as we've seen once before at Zex's home in Nymora. Shanks begins to frantically remove items from his person, tossing them out onto the floor before him. Eventually, the constable and company have had enough of the team and leave, dropping the force cage. Shanks regains his faculties, and Hoshino returns to the Hermitage to the news of what transpired. Shanks revealed that he had a blackout, and Hoshino questions his place within the group, his act of cowardice, and what the future holds for him. The discussion circles back to what the group will do with the new information about, quote, Elrin, and check in on the crew for a status report. They receive back from Duo that the ship will need repair, and that the captain said that there was a look of pity on the face of the executioner as they acted out the constable's will. They eventually realize that she may have questionable loyalty to him, sometime later, as she is also revealed to be a paladin for the Daughter of the Light. The group decides to stay the night and to go to Invenis to seek aid in repairing the ship. There is also their new investment to check in on. Galahad, Shanks, Argyle, and Zex head to Invenis to find Aaron Stormrider, who would help with the repairs needed for the Swift Hummingbird. Hoshino, Glad, and Salix stay at the Hermitage and assist the ship's crew with any repairs and keep watch over them while the rest go to the city. The group collectively is hesitant about returning to Invenis, given that their last arrival there went kind of poorly. As they approach the city, they let Shanks know that while he's comfortable with his new appearance, it might be best to keep it under the radar, as they don't know what the response will be to Elrin and the smoldering effects of his mark. He obliges, and they head to the Vice Ward to see Iggy, who has a large chest of gold for Argyle as per their bet on whether or not they would succeed in their attempt to free the city from the web. They catch up and exchange pleasantries with Iggy before checking in on their investment. On their way, they discuss information that Iggy gave in regards to the Telltale Guild having yet to find the artifact that they've been searching for. They go back and forth about what it could be and the greater plans of the gods in play, and they are left to ponder the ramifications of what would happen if they found the artifact. Back at the Hermitage, Hoshino begins to meditate, and we see a glimpse of his story. We see the relationship that he forges with an unknown entity. It's a story of fear, desperation, strength, hope, and even more. We also get a glimpse of Sloane's past, 4,000 years ago in a place called the Serpent's Strait. The visions and memories during this meditation leave Hoshino with a tear or two that run down the side of his face. When we return to the Invenice group, they have made a pit stop to check on their investment as they arrive at Chubby T's. It is there where they meet the manager, Mr. Balderdash, a goblin, and the entertainment, if that's what you wish to call it, Little G and the Bahamuts. Now, they are not there, but Mr. Balderdash lets them know that they will be there later on in the week for rehearsals. While some of the group seems uncertain of what they've entrusted their investment in, they hear the plans for the grand opening and the future of this franchise. It's a bit of relief and respite after an intense battle and exchange just the day before. With that, the group finally makes their way towards Aaron Stormrider. It's at this point that GLAAD, via astral projection, joins the group in Invenice and offers to help the boys out if need be. The group connects with Aaron Stormrider and explains the needs of the Swift Hummingbird. They then also inquire if he can make some improvements to the ship, as the group expects that this won't be the last scuffle for the airship. Aaron explains that they'll likely need another crystal to power the airship, but fortunately, they are naturally occurring throughout Sloane. GLAAD divines the location of the crystal before parting ways with the group to rest back at the Hermitage. They are given some time for some light shopping before the group brings Aaron back with them to the Hermitage. During this time, they also take the opportunity to gather research and find some useful information as well as items for their journey. With that, the group uses Zex's bow, Jack of All Trades, to teleport back to the Hermitage, but with some difficulty as Zex is still getting familiar with this new ability. Reconnecting at Salix's Hermitage, the group catches up one another and checks in with Hoshino, who is still a bit shaken up after his first encounter with the Constable. During the evening's rest, Shanks and Hoshino have a deep conversation ranging from their histories and beliefs to what their philosophy is on life and all of that fun stuff. They also share things that they have kept close to the vest. The conversation that started warm and thoughtful soon becomes one that brings a third uninvited guest. Arioch, the Archduke of Chaos, the Prince of Swords, the Corruptor himself, begins whispering and planting the seeds of chaos into Shanks' ear, leaving an unease in the air. Okay, so these six episodes are some of my favorite sessions from this last year of playing. It had been quite a while since the Constable was in a session and was interacting with the party and it felt like the right time to bring him back into the picture. It was also very satisfying over the course of these episodes, at least on my end, to give more context to the bad guys that we've seen in the past and reveal more about them and their motives. Plus, the Arioch reveal was something that I have secretly been waiting for since Shanks was forced into his deal with the Archfiend. So that was a really cool reveal, and I really, really loved the way that Hutch, the player who plays Shanks, reacted to that information. It was a really cool scene. So anyway, please check out our social media accounts on most major platforms. Just search for The Medusa's Cascade on the platform and give us a follow. We have some cool stuff coming, and it's worth checking out. Also, if you're listening on a streaming platform, especially Apple Podcasts and Spotify, please take a few minutes to rate, review, and subscribe. Doesn't seem like a lot, but it does help get the podcast out there for others to discover, and we would all appreciate the love and support. So we'll see you next week for the next episode of Divergent Paths, and in 2 weeks for the next actual play episode, Collateral Damage 133. Until then, safe travels.